What just happened last night, ladies and gentlemen? What just happened? Welcome into the show. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzy Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Thanks for joining me on this fine morning. I can't believe they did it. I am amazed. I love to be wrong. And man, that was incredible. I actually did an emergency show last night. Did an emergency program last night just to talk about that win. And then I had to watch the Phillies. And God, that was terrible. But we'll get into that much later. I don't know where you guys rank that win. But when you think about improbable wins, that was pretty improbable. That was very much not expected. I don't put a second-round playoff series anywhere near a Super Bowl. But when you think about being down some of your best players, in this case, the MVP of the league, similar to that Super Bowl team was with Nick Foles as their quarterback without Carson Wentz that year. If you just talk about those two isolated games, that's it. Just two isolated games, not Super Bowl versus second-round playoff series, but just two isolated games, bad at best made, you got to win. Oh, my goodness, they're close. That's it. Not comparing a Super Bowl to a first-round playoff series, second-round playoff series, but hot damn, when you're talking about what maybe the vast majority of the world didn't expect happened, that was pretty improbable last night by the 76ers, and James Harden put on a masterclass last night for the Sixers. And I got to tell you, in that first quarter, he dropped 16 points, and I know everyone was excited about it, and I'm thinking, someone else needs to step up here. It can't just be James Harden. I was worried about whether or not his ankle was going to be okay coming the fourth quarter. I was worried about whether or not his stamina would be okay coming the fourth quarter, and it was definitely a concern of mine. And the Sixers, man, they answered every call. James Harden, 45 points with the game-winning shot, the game on the line. He gets a switch at the top of the key, and he pulls up a jump shot, or should be a three, on Al Horford. Now, the obvious thing here is that it's Al Horford. Brief 76er, but a former 76er nonetheless. Did not have a great run here in Philadelphia, and I don't think it was his fault necessarily. I think it was the fact that, you know, Ben Simmons, if you're Al Horford, a tough guy to play with. So that's the way I looked at it. But Al Horford also had a three stuck in his eye from Trae Young in that game five in Boston to force the game six. And Al Horford, of course, now ends up getting the switch, ends up playing James Harden in this scenario. And James Harden pulls up and knocks down the three, and the Sixers win the game. That was a thing of beauty. Not a single pass on that possession. It was going to be James Harden or bust on that play. And as time was ticking down, Harden pulls up and hits the game-winning shot for the Sixers. It was such a thing of beauty. But how they got there, a couple of things that I feel really own the moment. One, a guy that doesn't ever make an adjustment that we care about, Doc Rivers made a huge adjustment and went zone last night. When they went zone, Sixers offensively went on a huge run, and defensively started actually stopping the Celtics. What? There was a point in this game that the Sixers could have packed it in. The Sixers could have said, we don't have Joel Embiid. It's not working out well for us. This isn't going to be our night. Maybe game two, JoJo comes back, and all of a sudden we're a different team. And that moment came in the second quarter when Jason Tatum rose up and knocked down a three from about 31 feet out. He knocked down that three. The Celtics, in this instance, go up 62-50. And you could have thought, if you're the Sixers, all right, you know what? We're down 12. It's only the second quarter. Yeah, we might be able to fight back. But if Jason Tatum's going to be knocking out shots like that, it's going to be a rough go of it for us. So maybe this isn't our night. And I'll let you hear from James Harden after the game. But James Harden said that they brought the right mindset into Boston the entire time. The right mindset. And that was after Doc Rivers' adjustment, after James Harden actually dropping a 45-point night, after Tyrese Maxey battling through, banging knees with was it Tatum on the Celtics that he banged knees with, and was hobbled a little bit there in the second half. After all his gutsy performance, Tobias Harris being Johnny on the spot again, coming up huge with a three with about 4 minutes left, tie the game. whether it was Paul Reed knocking down 4 for 4 free throws in the final couple minutes of this game. Ice in his veins, Paul Reed, whoever it was. D'Anthony Melton dropping 17, including 5 threes. Every single guy stepped up. What we talked about, if the Sixers even have a shot of winning this game, everyone had to step up. Everybody stepped up. Doc Rivers adjustments, the mentality of this team going into it, and then people actually performing. The three major things that you take away from last night's game. Another thing you could certainly throw in there is the leadership of James Harden. The attitude of James Harden and the temperature he set in that locker room going out to the court in Boston. We're not just up here because we're here for a party. No, no, no. We're up here to win. And then afterwards, to just say it's just one win. I don't know if you guys saw the footage after the game, but they're walking off the court. Everyone's celebrating. Everybody's excited, and rightfully so. And James Harden saying, yeah, enough of that. That's one game, guys. It's a first-round playoffs. It's the second-round playoff series win. We're up 1-0 on the Boston Celtics. And how about this? I caught this off of SportsCenter. The Sixers and the Celtics have played each other 22 times in the playoffs over the years. This was the 110th playoff game between the two teams. It was the first time they were tied going into the fourth quarter. 87-87. I was absolutely amazed with how this Sixers basketball team played. I was amazed with Doc Rivers and how he coached this team. I was amazed Doc Rivers keeping a timeout in his back pocket. I was amazed about the challenge that Doc Rivers decided not to dole out there. And who ended up challenging themselves but the referees on the Tyrese Maxey driving layup with Marcus Smart out of the semicircle, but still shifting in the position to try to draw the charge from Tyrese Maxey. And the referees in this instance, I think they called it absolutely perfect. I didn't expect them in Boston to call it absolutely perfect as far as that one particular play went. I thought the Boston Celtics were going to get a little bit of home cooking on that call, but they made the right call. Good for them, because there was a couple other calls that did not go their way. And the main one that really jumps out at me is that phantom offensive foul from James Harden on Al Horford. Somehow that was an offensive foul in the waning minutes of this game. They gave possession back to the Boston Celtics, and then they thought, all right, here you go. Because honestly, even in the midway through the fourth quarter, I was like, they're not going to win this game. They're not going to win this game. I'm loving what I'm watching. I'm even like thinking about what I'm going to say tomorrow about how, oh, you know what, there's no moral victories, but hot damn, I love the way the Sixers played that game last night without Joel Embiid. I didn't expect them to win. So as the minutes are ticking off the clock and I'm looking at it in the fourth quarter, I'm like, I love this team. This team's played so well tonight. This is such a great game. Doc Rivers was great. James Harden was great. Tyrese Maxey battled through a little knee injury there, which was great. Paul Reed stepping out. Like, this is fantastic. It wasn't really until Paul Reed's free throws that I really thought this team was going to make something happen. That's how late it was. And it was 57 seconds left in the game with the Sixers. I think they were down at this point. James Harden finds a streaking Paul Reed who goes to the basket, gets fouled, goes to the line, makes two. That, I was like, I can't, no way. Oh, my God, this is actually going to happen. But up until then, I was like, this is one of those games where you're thinking about some kind of moral victory or whatever. You're trying to take a positive out of the game. And Sixers said, yeah, to hell with moral victories. We're just going to take this game. And it was all coming down to mindset. And I don't know if it was the extra game and the extra couple days that the Celtics had to worry about another playoff game with the Hawks and travel back to Atlanta, come back, and then face the Sixers, who were obviously well-rested for this game. And maybe if they don't get that extra time, then maybe you don't have a chance to get Joel Embiid back as soon as you could get him back for the series. And how about this? Maybe you don't have James Harden as rested as he could have been for that fourth quarter. Maybe if that was a longer series against the Nets, maybe if they lose game four against the Nets, maybe that's an opportunity where James Harden has to play another game. He doesn't get nearly as much rest. You're not ready to go come the fourth quarter of this game. Who knows? But all I know is what happened last night, I did not expect. And sometimes you're just so happy to be wrong. And boy, was I wrong. On this show, on Fox 29 yesterday, they asked us, you know, the Sixers have a chance? No. No. Can we talk about the draft again? Because I'm out. They're not. Nope. Not happening. I didn't give him a chance. And that's why, folks, every once in a while, I do a great impression of a big dumb idiot. It's actually most of the time I do a big impression of a big dumb idiot. But I just can't get over how they played last night. You go back to the bench and the way Anthony Melton came off the bench, the way he had some clutch threes for you. And I continue to go back to this one moment with the Sixers where you saw Jason Tatum hit that three in the second quarter of the game. And the Sixers, again, mentality-wise, could have said, thanks, but no thanks. We're good. We're not ready for this smoke. Not here. Maybe we could hang with them. But as the game went on, you saw after that three, it was a 13-4 run that they closed that second quarter on. They go into halftime down 66-63. They come out and they end up stockpiling that run from a 13-4 run from, I believe, a 24-10 run into the third quarter. They battled right back. They end up tying the game in the early goings of that third quarter. They really established themselves. They go up 78-74 on a driving layup by Tyrese Maxey. Smart gets a chance to have a responding three. He misses it. Al Horford later gets an opportunity for a responding three after that scoop layup by Maxey. Sixers go up 78-74. And it was really just an incredible run there for the Sixers midway in that third quarter. In the fourth quarter, Maxey comes out, misses two early threes. You start to have some concerns. Tatum makes a driving layup. Next thing you know, the Celtics are up 89-87, and this thing just kept on going. Robert Williams made a layup in the early goings of that fourth quarter and put the Celtics up 93-89. Doc Rivers called a timeout, didn't like what he saw. And then you see Brown knock down a long three. He makes it 96-91, and that was a questionable call on Maxey. If you remember, Maxey and Brown got tied up at the top of the key. There wasn't who was it? Can't remember who it was. White. It was White. Where Maxey gets the call. This was a good call. It was unfortunate for the Sixers, but it was a good call. If you remember, actually at the foul line, Maxey gets called for a foul where he's pulling White into him a little bit. Thought it was a ticky-tack call. Upon further review, it was not a ticky-tack call. It was a good call. So at this point, it's 96-91. Then Harden goes off. He ends up tying the game at 96 all. Maxey, you have to worry about at this point because now he's got five fouls in the game. Harden ends up hitting another three to go up 99-96. It was a call, I think, on the very next possession where Harden goes up there and gets that what would have been, I think, an embellished call on Marcus Smart. And then the Sixers and Celtics then started the seesaw battle about the six-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Harden hits another three to go up 102-100. Smart comes back. He takes a layup on Maxey. Ties it up at 102. Brogdon gets a fast break layup to go up 104-102 about the five-minute mark. This is how crazy this was all going down. At that point, Tatum gets hit in the old hibbity-dibbity, okay? Benches. You see Joel on the court, see him talking it up. You see everyone out there. Things are starting to get a little testy, and I'm thinking this is – no, Sixers, you have them right where you want them. You have them right where you want them. Please don't do anything crazy here. Don't do anything stupid. And they did not do anything stupid. At the 10 – the Celtics are up 107 to 104. And you see James Harden drive the lane in that fourth quarter. I see Tobias Harris standing there at the top of the key, and I'm like, oh, man, if he could just see that – if he could somehow see that Tobias Harris is just standing there. And James Harden drives the lane, turns around, rifles a pass from the baseline to the top of the key. Tobias Harris standing by, catches, releases, shoots, makes. Sixers tie the game at that point, 107 all. And they just kept on coming. Maxey makes that driving layup, gets the N1, makes it 111-110 in favor of the Sixers. Horford crashes the boards on a possession, gets a offensive rebound. They actually end up getting two offensive rebounds on one possession, one trip down the court. Al Horford ends up cashing in on the layup, so it actually becomes a third chance point for the Celtics in this instance. And I'm thinking, is this it? Is this the dagger? I kept on waiting for the shoe to drop. As great and as much as I was enjoying the way the Sixers were playing, I kept on waiting for the shoe to drop where all of a sudden Tatum was going to come up with a big shot. All of a sudden Jaylen Brown was going to come up with a big shot. Marcus Smart was going to knock a three down and just be the dagger. And it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. The Sixers just kept coming back. And that defensive stand that they had on the Celtics' second to last possession of the game, I want to say it was, where Maxey came up with the steal. Jaylen Brown got the ball. Tobias Harris is on him. Jaylen Brown made a great move and a pump fake, and I thought he got Tobias Harris off balance. He was going to get Tobias Harris up in the air, and he was going to get fouled. The Celtics were up a point at this moment in the game, and Tobias Harris kept his feet on that possession right before Maxey stole the ball. He kept his feet. Celtics panicked a little bit. Sixers in lockdown defense. Brogdon goes to reset with like no time on the shot clock, and he passes the ball up front or out of the top of the key, and Maxey is right there waiting. Intercepts the pass, steals it just before the shot clock expires, starts dribbling down the court, down a point, and I'm watching him like, this is incredible. And then I see Maxey almost pull up like he was going to stop. And I go, no, keep going, finish the play. And he just keeps going with it, doesn't see anybody on him. Celtics stop playing, throws it down. Sixers go up a point. And I was like, what the hell was that? Turns out after the game, Maxey thought he heard a whistle and he was going to stop. There's no whistle. And as Rocky would say, there's no bell. And he finished the play. Sixers go up a point. Next possession, the Celtics end up getting the basketball. They have a timeout. Celtics end up getting the basketball. Tatum drives, gets the shot. Celtics go back up a point. And then it was James Harden on Al Horford. James Harden hits the game-winning three. About 4 seconds left of the game. Right in Al Horford's eye. What a view for Al Horford. What a view. That game last night was nothing short of spectacular, and I still can't believe the Sixers pulled that game out. What an absolute incredible game for the 76ers. Definitely love to hear what you guys have to say about it in the chat, so we'll get into that as well. But as far as what they were saying after the game, here is Doc Rivers talking about the Celtics strategy as well as James Harden and the night he put together for his squad tonight.
He had just the perfect mindset tonight. He really did. I'm so happy for him because it just tells you what he can do on given nights, and then he can be your point guard on given nights. It just speaks, it's amazing. The guy is a Hall of Famer, and all you hear is the other stuff about him. You really do. And he was fantastic. We talked about that if they scored before, I had the one timeout, and I did not want to use that timeout. I just didn't want them to be able to set their defense up. We put George on the floor, took Paul out, had all smalls, which was scary because if they missed a free throw, we just took the gamble. I figured Tatum's not going to miss a free throw. But if he had, I don't know if it would have gotten well for us. Having said that, getting that floor space for him, he shot the three. I didn't care what he did. He was going to get that shot, and that was good for us.
I didn't care what he did. I didn't know what the play was going to be. I didn't really care. The play was James Harden's going to go make a play. I was, of all the concerns you could have in the world about the Sixers team not being able to close out this game and then them closing it out, I was like jumping for joy. I was so happy for him, and I'm so happy for all of us because the ultimate takeaway is the question I've been asking this entire time, and even before this series started, when the playoffs started. I know this might come off to some people as a hot take, but it's not a hot take if you believe it. And I truly believe this when I say this. Everything the Sixers did up until this point, up until the point of the second round of the playoffs, was all entertainment. That's all it was. It was just entertainment for me. It was all of this is the season. Right now is the season. How we'll remember this year, sure, Joel Embiid will probably get the MVP award later today, and that'll be great. But ultimately, it's like, yeah, he got the MVP. He got bounced out of the second round again, and he wasn't healthy for the playoffs. He got the MVP. But even if he gets the MVP, it'll be great. Joel Embiid was the MVP that year. They still couldn't make it past the second round of the playoffs. Joel Embiid got the MVP, and he still wasn't healthy for the second round of the playoffs. But everything that we've watched up until this point was just entertainment. If they don't make it past the second round of the playoffs, it feels like this season, again, was a bust. If they do make it past the second round of the playoffs, and again, this is all the season right here, then it feels like the possibilities are endless for the Sixers. The Bucks are already out. Sure, the Heat can give you fits. Jimmy Butler's dealing with an injury. But the Heat are just a really damn good basketball team. The path is there to the NBA Finals for the 76ers. The path is there. They got this win with no JoJo. JoJo comes back on Wednesday night for game two. You best believe that this team is going to rally around him and that Joel Embiid is going to be as close to that 50-point performance that we saw just a couple of weeks ago against the Boston Celtics. That's what we need to see from Joel Embiid. And if he can't get to that level, then you know what you learned in this game one? That this team can carry him. And if he needs another break, don't get me wrong. I'm not rooting for it. I'd love to have him back as soon as possible. But if he needs that time, if he's just not ready, if the knee strain is just not ready to go, then I hope that James Harden and Tyrese Maxey and Tobias Harris and De'Anthony Melton and P.J. Tucker and Paul Reed and all these guys, I hope that they have another one of these in them. Because, man, are they going to need it. And if Doc Rivers smells out another adjustment he needs to make in the game, then, man, have your game ready to go on Wednesday because there's no guarantee that Joel Embiid will be back for that one. I am blown away by the Sixers' performance last night. As for your boy, James Harden, I believe this is him talking about the final play of the game and what he saw with Al Horford on him and how that presented itself with him right before the game-winning shot.
I think PJ set the screen, and I came off the screen, and I was wondering if they were going to put two on the ball. And so when I crossed green, I pulled the ball back out, it was just like, stay home, it's a one-on-one. So then I'm looking up, and I'm just, all right, this is what I work on every day. So to get the best available shot, no matter what it is, and, you know, raise up and shoot it.
Everything he works on, everything he does, it came to fruition on that particular play. And that's the killer James Harden. I thought it was funny. At the end of the season last year, Joel Embiid, if you don't remember, Joel Embiid was doing his press conference. He was talking about James Harden, and he was talking about James Harden coming back in Philly and all that stuff. And one of the things Joel Embiid said was that James Harden isn't Houston James Harden anymore. Last night in this game one, if you would have told me you were getting Sixers, if you were getting Houston James Harden, I would have said you were crazy, which is why I didn't think the Sixers were going to win this game. And man, that was every ounce of Houston James Harden. That was every ounce of MVP James Harden. Today, Joel Embiid likely get named the MVP of this past regular season. Last night, the MVP was James Harden. Today, Joel Embiid will get that award most likely for the NBA. But last night, it was certainly James Harden for the Sixers. Absolutely unbelievable. And to see a guy like Tyrese Maxey come up so clutch for the Sixers in that fourth quarter, after struggling for most of the second half, seeing him come up the way he did by still playing aggressive and still playing smart. There was one instance where I think it was Jason Tatum who just took him to the hole with no problem whatsoever, and it wasn't the only time that Jason Tatum basically got a free look at the rim. And we can certainly look at the end of the second quarter with the Sixers closing things out 13-2. The last play was Jason Tatum dribbling through four Sixers to get to the rack to at least make it a 13-4 run for the Sixers heading into halftime. But there was a bunch of looks that he got were freebies, you could say. But for the most part, defensively speaking, played a very smart game. Tobias Harris, defensively speaking, played a great game. Paul Reed certainly played great defensively. You saw Paul Reed get a rebound for the Sixers. They turn it the other way. They get a couple of points that did the other direction there in that fourth quarter. Paul Reed coming up huge in that instance. And then, as we all know, 57 seconds left, like I mentioned a second ago, goes to the line, makes both free throws. He was 4-for-4 in that fourth quarter. I can't get over how well this team played. Here is James Harden on the mentality of this Sixers team after the game.
We didn't come in the game expecting to lose. You know what I mean? Like, we are here to win. And even after this game, I told the guys, don't get too happy. Like, we even kill. You know what I mean? Like, we're coming here to get game two as well. And so that's the mindset that we have as a unit. And, you know, whether Joe comes back or not, we'll be ready to go. Obviously, he's huge. I mean, he's everything for this team. But, you know, we got whoever's on the floor, let's go win the game. And that's what we did tonight.
Is the belief what you want from a leader? That's exactly what you want. And how he backed it up. The mentality they had going onto the court was backed up by James Harden while they were on the court, while they were playing. And it's still the mentality now after just one game. James Harden wants to win. James Harden wants to get to a championship. James Harden wants to win a championship. If they could find a broken cog in the wheel of the Boston Celtics, if they could find a chink in the armor, they're going to go ahead and try to find that. And they're going to exploit the hell out of it. Last night, seeing James Harden just go off in this 119 to 115 win, seeing him drop 45 points, seeing him shoot 17 for 30 from the floor, and seeing him knock down 7 threes in 14 attempts is pretty entertaining. I think it might have even been very similar to the same numbers there. Tyrese Maxey only shot 10 for 24. He had very similar numbers towards the end of the season, one of the games against the Nets, I think it was. And I'm like, well, that can't shoot like that and win. Well, you can if James Harden's dropped 45 points. Certainly. And also, by the way, one more thing I wanted to say about Paul Reed. We can't forget that he had a double-double as well. He had 10 points, 13 rebounds. And again, the points that he was able to get in that fourth quarter were unbelievable. And how about this? PJ Tucker. No points scored last night. He had more shots to the old hibbity-dibbity of Jason Tatum than he did shots made. 0 points last night, but playoff PJ was there. It might not have been in corner three form. Didn't even attempt a shot last night, as a matter of fact. But as far as great defense and being a hard-nosed rebounder, got 5 boards for you, being one of those guys for you last night, that's the type of playoff PJ that you could still win with. The guy that's still giving you that great defense. And I just will not be able to get over how they played in the last couple of minutes of that fourth quarter. That's your 76ers, ladies and gentlemen. Game two, Wednesday night in Boston. Sixers hoping to come to Philadelphia up 2-0 on the Boston Celtics. How sweet that would be. So the Phillies are in Los Angeles. Oh, I can't forget this. As I'm watching the Celtics, I'm on Twitter as well, and I'm scrolling, and I see our friend Todd Zielecki of MLB.com puts out there on the Twitter that the LA Dodgers organist, okay, played Here They Come, the 76ers song, of course. We all know the history. We should. If you don't, on this platform, the Boston Celtics chanted to the Sixers, beat LA in 83, and the Sixers beat LA in 83. The LA Dodgers would like to return the favor whenever they can. The Los Angeles fans would like to return the favor whenever they can. And if there's anything that Boston, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles can unite on, it's the other one beating the other. And the Sixers are certainly a big part of that rivalry as well when you talk about historic franchises in the NBA. So last night, the organist in Los Angeles played Here They Come for the 76ers, beating the Boston Celtics. And that was about where the fun stopped in Los Angeles for anybody who's a Philadelphia sports fan, because Taiwan Walker got shelled last night. In case you're just waking up, good morning. In case you went to bed after the Sixers beat the Celtics in game one of the second round playoff series, in case you went to bed, Taiwan Walker sucked last night. The good time stopped right there. 8 earned runs in 3 1/3. 3 home runs in 3 1/3. 8 hits in 3 1/3. 3 walks in 3 1/3. For Taiwan Walker. What the hell, man? I know we're talking about Ranger Suarez, and we're talking about Ranger Suarez coming back, and then Matt Strom going back to the bullpen. Well, Matt Strom's going to get another start tonight. Maybe that Taiwan Walker guy would be a better fit in the bullpen. His last 2 starts, a no bueno. And it looked, here's the really crazy part. Like, he would have strikeouts that, I don't know what he was doing, but he had, bite on his curveball. He had movement on his fastball, and he was leaving guys flailing. It didn't happen a lot, but it happened. And then it would be like the next 2 batters, home run, single, double, triple, whatever. It was just unhittable. And then this long stretch of just terrible, flat, everything flat. The home run from Hayward, the solo shot that he hit was just a blast. He wasn't fooling anybody. Just, terrible. So yeah, the Phillies lost last night 14-4. Off the top of my head, I believe it was the final score of last night's game. I should know, I did a post game show about it. But it was just a horrendous performance last night from our beloved Philadelphia Phillies. And all that really matters is what could happen today, what will most likely happen today, what will happen today. Bryce Harper rejoins the team. After Tommy John surgery, Bryce Harper rejoins the team. After Tommy John surgery 5 months ago, Bryce Harper rejoins the team. He'll be in the lineup tonight as a designated hitter. 5 months ago, Bryce Harper had Tommy John surgery, and now he is playing for the Phillies. Here's a little perspective. D.D. Gregorius, okay? In 2019, D.D. Gregorius, still with the Yankees, had surgery October 17th. He came back 8 months later. All right? Shohei Ohtani, although he wasn't pitching at the time, he had the surgery in 2018, on October 1st, okay? He came back 8 months later. Came back and was in the lineup for the Angels. A month after he came back, he hit for the cycle. The month he did come back, he hit 3 home runs and he hit 250. A month later, he hit for the cycle. Didi Gregorius, just in case anyone's thinking about power, Didi Gregorius came back from the injury and had the same home run to at-bat ratio that he had the previous season when he hit 27 home runs. Before the surgery, the season before the surgery, or leading up to the surgery, I should say, he hit 27 home runs. He had a home run every 21 at-bats. In the season following the surgery, he hit a home run every 21 at-bats. So if you're looking for this to affect power numbers from Bryce Harper, it shouldn't. But no one's ever come back from this 5 months after it happened. Do I have concerns about him being rushed back? Absolutely. But I'm just trying to trust the doctors. I'm trying to trust the trainers. I'm trying to trust the medical staff. I'm trying to trust Bryce Harper that he's being open and honest with everyone. No, I have no pain. I'm good to go. I definitely have concerns about it, but I'm not putting anything back past Bryce Harper. I said leading up to the season, even I said leading as we said last week, I thought I was being overly optimistic by saying he's going to be back by the end of May. It's May 2nd, and he'll be in the lineup tonight as the Phillies designated hitter. Phillies are a 500 baseball team right now. They're 15-15. Maybe Bryce Harper, no pun intended, could be a shot in the arm that they need. One other thing on the Phillies, by the way, it was 13-4 last night that they took the loss to the Dodgers. They talked about it. I originally thought this was a quote from Trey Turner. It was not. This was a quote, I believe, from a conversation that Tom McCarthy had with Kevin Long, the Phillies hitting coach. And one of the things he had mentioned was that they want Trey Turner to be a little bit more patient in the batter's box, not with taking more pitches, which would still be nice, but Trey Turner be a little bit more patient with his swing, have a little more confidence on his bat speed. Give himself that extra millisecond to recognize whatever pitch is coming and put a good swing on the baseball. So last night, I didn't particularly see him go deeper in counts. I didn't see him necessarily be more or less aggressive, but that's just one of the things to keep in mind as you're watching Trey Turner for this series in Los Angeles and then hopefully after. It sounds good because anytime you see swings and misses like Trey Turner is swinging and missing, that's a concern. I'll go back to the Houston series again and talk about 3 straight swings and misses against Houston Astros in game 2 of that series, and then 3 straight swings and misses with 2 runners on in that 3rd game in the Houston Astros series. If it's more patience that he needs at the plate, give him more patience at the plate. He needs to have more patience at the plate, not necessarily taking more pitches, but just waiting to put a good swing on that baseball, and that's hopefully something that will come sooner rather than later for Trey Turner in this lineup, but certainly a concern when you're seeing how he is starting out this season. Bruno, no, the Phillies did not win. Let me tell you about Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. For over 40 years, Steven's been in the love business in Philadelphia, helping people get engaged and fall in love. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, the perfect price, online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Let me tell you about the great people at Freestone Farm CBD, FreestoneFarmCBD.com. You like CBD? You use CBD? You want to switch up your CBD? Try Freestone Farm CBD at freestonefarmcbd.com. You'll love their tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half Hindu
Kush,
and 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. So enjoy Freestone Farm CBD at freestonefarmcbd.com. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. How about the amazing, the incredible people at Manscaped? Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with promo code Farzy. And get their Platinum Package 4.0, which is their best hygiene bundle yet. It includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, as well as their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And they both come with skin-safe technology that helps you reduce the risk of nicks, so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. So go to Freestone, or go to them too, but also go to manscaped.com. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off and free shipping. Let's start over at the Farzy Show YouTube channel today. Mike Fuji, good morning. Happy Tuesday. Sean Kilrain, what's going on? T-Bro, hello and good morning. Sean Kilrain, play the damn song. B-ball Paul, you got to love him. James Harden, MVP-esque. The beard is a floor general. Mike, I agree with you. April, good morning, April. Sean Gillespie, good morning. Sean Kilrain, I'm glad to see the players that you think don't step up, stepped up. Absolutely. Fuji, you can't just, there has to be a reason for the peacock call. Okay, you can't abuse the peacock call. Can't do that. I mean, as excited as I am, there's got to be a call for a peacock to have the peacock call. Game's got to be on peacock. These are the rules. I didn't make them. Can't just whip out the peacock call. You know what I'm saying? Dan Schwartz, what a win. Wow, wow, wee, wow. That's how I'm reading that, Dan. Any chance Joel plays Wednesday? I say no. I say I have no idea. Here's what I didn't like. The fact that he took part in shoot-around was great. The fact that he was doubtful and then ruled out. So like they kept hope alive for till the very last minute. That might be gamesmanship, but I have no idea whether or not he's going to play on Wednesday. Winning game one without him? I think it lends the idea that he won't play Wednesday. Maybe he's when the Celtics win, that's when they'll activate Joel Embiid to the last possible second. So I don't know. I would say winning game one helps the idea of him not playing game two. Sean Gillespie, hello again. Brilliant Rocky impression. Thank you. Thank you. Dan Schwartz was going, oh, Dan, thank you. Very nice. I'm getting compliments on the Rocky impression. Guys, don't encourage this. Don't encourage this buffoonery. Do not speak about the hairdo. What hair? Oh, wait, James Harden's hairdo? Whose hair? Oh, Doc Rivers' hair. Come on. We can't talk about that right now. Philly flavor Eagles. Phillies are rubbing. Maybe. Mally! What's up, Mally? Smoking on that Celtic pack this morning. You're damn right you are, Mally. Good for you. When Doc switched to that zone in the first half, definitely helped change the momentum. Absolutely. MJ, Maxi struggled last night. All of it, unfortunately. I legit thought to myself, Maxi fouling out might not be the worst thing at the time. I kept the faith in Maxi. I kept the faith. I didn't go. Somebody else was tweeting me about it too, that they didn't like what Maxi was doing last night. I didn't like it either, but I mean, you're kind of out of options at that point with no JoJo. And the other thing was, I mean, he was battling, especially in that second half with I don't know how bad his knee was. I didn't see what he said after the game about it, but it looked like he banged it up pretty bad. That's tough, and that lingers through the night. If you guys have even played a pickup game and ever banged kneecaps with somebody, that ain't fun. That ain't fun. I went to Dan Schwartz. I went on the Paul Reed victory tour. Wonderful experience. I'm sure it was. April Harper is a beast. I love how excited he is to play. Listening to him talk about learning to play first base. Like I wanted to go play first base. Dan Schwartz. Wait, where's JC? Oh, wait, what is it? Daniel. What do you have for Harden? Sorry, JC would have put me in the corner. RJ is live. What's up, RJ is live. Sixers! Damn right. Flip over to the YouTube channel for Jacob Media. What's up, good people over at Jacob Media? Or was I just on Jake? I was just on. No, I was on Farzi Joe. Here's Jacob Media. What's up, Jacob Media? Oh, Paul from Professor Dutch. Someone please get Joel Embiid a hoodie without holes. Poor guy just trying to get the best he can while being injured, forced to wear tattered clothing. I don't know why that's a style. I had a pair of ripped jeans, you know, back in the day. But the holes in the clothes just seems odd to me. It just seems odd to me, and I know that's an old man speaking, but it's true. Professor Dutch Harden's outfit wasn't much better. You didn't like the old pants there? You know, in college, I had a friend wear the same exact pants. And college was a long time ago for me at this point, but I'll just say this. He still hasn't heard the end of it. I remember he was going on a date. He was one of my roommates. He came down the stairs. And we all looked at him and went, oh, boy, that's what you're going with? That's what you're going with? Okay. We know what you can there, pal. Parachute pants with a good luck charm, says PJ. Duck, what's up, Duck? What's going on? Harden showed the hell up. He absolutely did. Sammy, what's up, Sammy? Is it Sammy Khan or Sammy Chan or Sammy Sean? How do you say that? These Celtics are not coached that well, and Doc Rivers has a chip on his shoulder. Doc hears the whispers and insinuations. That just sounds horrible. I hear the insinuations. I'm not insinuating. I'm saying you suck. Anyway, not last night, though. And actually, I've defended Doc Rivers this year, by the way, for the record. I've defended Doc Rivers this year. What a beautiful 76ers morning, brother. Sammy, absolutely. Eagles fan, you're not beating Boston. It was just a blip on the radar. Thanks. Sammy, MVP check, Eagles fan. What's up? I'm just saying Twiz. I'm not touching anything else that you're saying in your name there. Twiz, what's up? Dog mentality certainly seemed like it. Eagles fan, they better had won. Did y'all see what he was wearing yesterday? Tobias definitely hit a couple of clutch shots, absolutely. B-ball Paul's free throws iced it. Certainly. Bruno, what's up, Bruno? Did the Phillies win? Yep, never mind. Sorry, no, they did not win. J-Rock, he'll be fine. Let's hope so. Oh, I saw Ike Reese dancing. Who was that? Was it... All right, we'll get there. I saw, I think it was Hugh Douglas tweeted it out, the video of Ike Reese dancing. It was fantastic. I wish they could play this well when Embiid is in the game. Embiid dominates the ball too much. Yeah, he does dominate the ball too much. But when he's the MVP, I don't mind him dominating the ball too much. Sammy Khan, like John, love it. Mark, I grew up in Cherry Hill. It was pronounced Cohen for many years. You don't say. You don't say, Sammy. You don't say. Thanks, everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Let's get into the morning rush brought to you by Sky Motor Cars, skymotorcars.com. Phillies and Dodgers back at it tonight, 10:10 start time. We will have the post-game show on Jacob Media again after the game. Hopefully this time around, it's after a win. Matt Strom will get to the start against Julio Urias. Two lefties going on and taking on each other last night. Or tonight, you have Strom coming back from his zero runs allowed performance against the Seattle Mariners after allowing six runs combined in his previous two starts. He got back to five and a third shutout innings last night, including five strikeouts, did not issue a walk. Great to see that from Strom in that performance. Hopefully he keeps that going. Julio Urias has not had a good go of it as of late for the Dodgers. Not really the guy that we saw through most of last year. He's got a 4.41 ERA on the season. In his last two starts, he's allowed 11 runs on 14 hits, including four home runs, four walks issued in his last two starts. His last start, he only went 5 2/3. In his previous start to that, he only went 3 1/3. So some struggles from Julio Urias. Hopefully the Phillies can take advantage of that. And Bryce Harper will be one of the guys leading the charge. Let's hope that he's one of the guys leading the charge coming back from Tommy. I can't believe it. The name that jumps to mind for quick turnarounds is obviously Terrell Owens, who basically broke his leg and then played in the Super Bowl. Like, what, a month later, 2 months later? That's pretty incredible. This guy coming back 5 months after the surgery is insane. And all the while, learning how to slide differently and learning to play first base, which is not going to happen immediately. It's going to be later in the season, just so the Phillies have that option. That's incredible. Phillies did get some good injury news yesterday, and I talked about how he could be done for the season. Pache had surgery. It went well, and it looks like he could be back in, I think, 4 to 6 weeks. Rob Thompson said, it was better than they originally anticipated. So you could get Christian Pache back in this lineup as well and back patrolling center field for the Phillies, or really any corner outfield spot for the Phillies in the not-too-distant future, which is good news, especially with the fact that he was really putting it together for himself this season under the tutelage of Kevin Long, which is great. 76ers back at it Wednesday night for game 2 of this series, this second-round series with the Boston Celtics. I have no idea whether or not Joel Embiid is playing in that game. I will just dine on this Sixers win until Wednesday and then hopefully dine on it a little bit more when the Sixers, I don't know, if they play a game 7 and win against this Boston Celtics team, I will dine on this game 1 victory. If I could take out anything and just double it with the way the Sixers will play in game 2, game 3, game 4, game 5, whatever it might be, maybe there won't be a game 5. Maybe this will be the shock of the world sweep. I don't know. But, see how I go from drastically pessimistic to wildly optimistic? It's that mentality the Sixers had. No matter what happened in this game, and I kept on waiting for the moment, as I told you earlier, that the Sixers were just going to be put to bed, where Jason Tatum came up with the big three or Al Horford had a big three or whatever. There's just that moment where the Celtics like put it out of reach, like a moment where it's close with 3 minutes left and all of a sudden, there's a couple turnovers, a couple of big shots from the Celtics. Next thing you know, you're down 8, and it just might as well feel like a 20-point lead that the Celtics had. And the Sixers never let that happen. Even when they were down 12, when Jason Tatum hit that 3 in the second quarter, the Sixers, just from that point on, decided that wasn't going to be a factor. 3:30 left in the second quarter. Jason Tatum pulls up from 31 feet out and knocks down that 3. Sixers respond by closing out the quarter on a 13-4 run. They end up making it a 24-10 run through midway to the second quarter. And you saw James Harden play consistent basketball. You saw Tobias Harris step up and hit threes for you. I was just so pleasantly surprised by how that team just kept on fighting. No matter what happened, they kept on fighting. And the thing was, the Celtics couldn't get that shot. Yeah, there were shots that they made to put them up, but as far as like the put-away shots, as far as the, oh, no, all momentum is going in favor of the Celtics, it just didn't happen. You had Al Horford miss a 3. You had Marcus Smart miss a 3. Jason Tatum missed his share of 3s. Jaylen Brown, of course, missed his share. Brogdon. All these guys, like what could have been major momentum swings in big shot with big shots, they didn't hit them. They choked in a lot of instances. And the Sixers were right there for the take. And this game was left up for grabs. And the Sixers grabbed it with a huge thank you to a 45-point night from James Harden. Just making sure I got in all the points I wanted to get into in last night's game. Now I mentioned the timeout Doc Rivers called. I mean, going to zone and that timeout after the Celtics went up 4 in the early goings of that fourth quarter, the zone and the timeout there from Doc Rivers, I think, were the two best decisions that he made. Those were the two best examples of his good coaching last night. And I also thought a part of it was knowing when to kind of get out of the way and allowing James Harden to really be a leader last night, whether it be before the game, during the game, or after the game, I thought made all the difference in the world when it came to the mentality of this team. The Sixers won this game with a mentality, whether that be from their head coach and his decision-making in this game, or that just be, and I'm going to use it now, that dog mentality from James Harden. They won this game with a great mentality. The mentality of Tyrese Maxey to stay aggressive, despite the fact he had five fouls, also greatly beneficial. But yeah, just absolutely blown away with how the Sixers approached this game and how they just really would not go away. The biggest concern I had, because you have this in a lot of sports, those moments where, oh, that's going to come back to bite us. Those moments in the game where you feel like, oh, okay, there's no way. Like in baseball, we talk about it a lot, where you get like the bases loaded with nobody out in the third inning and you don't get any runs. There's a foul out to the catcher and then there's a double play. And you're like, oh, well, you know, that's going to come back to bite us. There were a couple of instances in this game that I thought, oh, that's going to come back and bite us late. The three shots in one trip down the court that was capped off by Al Horford's layup, that was the moment I thought was going to come back and bite the Sixers. Because, again, you can't allow third chance points. And the Sixers got third chance points at that point in the fourth quarter. So that was the moment that I thought, all right, this is not meant to be our game tonight. And I think from that point on, you saw two threes by James Harden. You saw the driving layup from Tyrese Maxey. Paul Reed came up with a couple of clutch shots. Those Paul Reed shots, by the way, he went to the line with the Sixers. They were down a point. And Paul Reed gets the ball at the foul line, knocks down his first shot, knocks down his second shot, and ended up, I think, drawing even with the Celtics at that point with 57 seconds left in the game. Then later in the game, I want to make sure I have my timing right here. Then later in the game, Paul Reed goes back to the foul line and knocks down a couple more shots with 4 seconds left in the game. These shots give you 118, 118 to 115, and then 119 to 115. And help the Sixers deadlock the game. But the game-winning shot came with 8 seconds left, as I mentioned earlier, with the Sixers going up 117 to 115 with James Harden's clutch three in the eye of Al Horford. An incredible win. Hopefully something the Sixers can keep going, especially if they don't have Joel Embiid again for game two. Still can't believe they did it. Still can't believe they pulled it out. Thanks for watching. That's the Farzi Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Thanks to everybody on the Jacob Media YouTube channel. You guys are great. Thanks to everybody on the Farzi Show channel. Be back with you guys tomorrow. Another look. We're going to look back at the Eagles draft, focus more on that defensive line. Hollis Thomas will join the show to break it all down. Tank will be on the program to let us know what he thinks of Jalen Carter and what they were able to accomplish with this 76ers squad as well, as he loves talking hoops. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is the Farzi Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Heider produced the program, did a wonderful job. Catch you guys tomorrow. Have a great day. And also catch you guys on the Jacob Media YouTube channel after the Phillies game tonight and Bryce Harper's return. See you tomorrow.